This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, there is a truly shocking story that has emerged in recent weeks. It's been there for a long time, and it concerns mica, which is a substance that's used to make building blocks. It is in building blocks in homes, or maybe an estimated 5,000, maybe more, homes across the country. Donegal is the worst hit, but there's also people in Mayo and in Clare whose homes are literally crumbling around them. The situation is grievous. It's not the first time we've seen in this country but homes that are improperly built, fire risks, all kinds of stuff. But the mica scandal is really emerging now in a very dramatic way. And yesterday, an estimated 3,000 people travelled by bus from those three counties, Donegal mostly, but also Mayo and Clare, to demonstrate outside the convention centre and through Dublin, because they want the state to fix this problem, to cover the cost of these people having their homes rebuilt so that they are habitable as things stand at the moment. The biggest investment in these people's lives is crumbling literally around them. It's dangerous, and it can and has done ruin people's life. A number of people from Donegal had been in touch with The Stand, and we are going to talk now to Mick Clifford, special correspondent of the Examiner. Mick is one of the best journalists in the country and will be well known to Stand listeners for his outstanding work as an investigative reporter. Mick, this is a terrible story that I knew nothing about, and I think most people in this country knew very little about until the recent weeks when the scale of it and the horror of it became evident. How long has it been going on, and how many people do you think are affected?
Yes, Eamon, thanks. I suppose in the first instance, the point you make is very valid. It has been going on for a long time, but for most of us, it's been sort of there on the periphery. And you have to say that an element of that is because perhaps we're too Dublin-centric, too East Coast-centric, or at the very least, and the Examiner, you know, is a Cork-based paper, perhaps we're just too centric in terms of the main population areas. Donegal, as you say, is the most affected area. It is, to all intents and purposes, on the periphery of the state. I know the county well myself. It's a fantastic place, great people there. But they do feel, with some justification, very often that their concerns are not given proper treatment by the rest of the country. Or as somebody once suggested to me, they feel unwanted by the north and unloved by the south. And that's not a sort of an empty rhetoric. there's definitely something to suggest that on the most basic level, somebody said to me yesterday down at the protest, it is the only county in the country probably that has absolutely no rail link, and that speaks for itself. So perhaps that feeds into what you were talking about in terms of it has been sort of below the radar to a certain extent for a number of years, even though it has been going on for well over 10 years at this stage now.
And the people campaigning, the owners of these houses, they're ordinary people, they've campaigned, they came to an arrangement with the government to cover, 90% of the costs, but that's really not the whole truth, is it? I mean, it's not 90%, and there are things that's not covered in this. For example, if you have to move out and find alternative accommodation, you're not going to get paid for that. So the 90%, as Piers Doherty alleged yesterday, and he's been very active and to the fore of helping these people, he said it might only cover 60-70%.
He's absolutely correct there, because the 90%, as you say, is the cover for construction costs. It doesn't take account of, on the most basic level, if cracks appear, Eamon, and you want to get your home tested, and you need to get your home tested, you're talking a minimum of $5,000 up front.
Yes.
Now, if it turns out that the cracks are attributable to mica, then you will eventually get that back. But that's a very slow process, and some people don't even have that cash to hand. That's completely apart from, in most instances now, it looks like people will have to move out of their homes to have them repaired. In a lot of cases, quite possibly, have them levelled and demolished.
Yes.
Because engineers won't sign off on some of the aspects of it that are left. And you have huge costs there with relocation, renting, all of that. I suppose, Eamon, it would be useful, because we use this word mica a lot, and just very briefly to point out what exactly it is. And mica is what they call a natural occurring mineral, and you find it in construction aggregate. That's rocks and stone that you get from quarries. Now, it's according to all best practice and according to standards, it's inevitable that it's going to be in your concrete, but it's supposed to make up no more than 1% of construction aggregate that goes into making the concrete, right? It's supposed to make up no more than 1%. The reason for that being, it takes in moisture like a sponge.
Yes.
The properties of the mineral mean that if it's a lot of rain, it'll suck in the moisture, and that quite obviously will weaken the concrete. So for that reason, there's an acceptance that has to be there, but it's supposed to be only 1%. What has occurred in Donegal and the other counties you mentioned is that they have found that the stuff that's been quarried and put into the concrete block, gone in to make up the concrete block, is as high as 17% of mica. And as a result, particularly, and no doubt this feeds into it, our climate, it's damp. Therefore, on the outer leaf of walls, you have all that dampness building up. That's absorbed hugely because there's so much of that mica there. And as a result, as you said, that ultimately leads to cracks in the first instances, and thereafter can often lead to literally the thing crumbling. And as the phrase they use, that they're calling it Weetabix blocks. So that's how serious the whole thing is. As you said, a panel was set up to look at this issue. It reported in 2018. And it came to the conclusion that there should be a state scheme to reimburse people. They suggested that it should be 90% and 10%. Now, I spoke to more people again yesterday at that protest. And one man said to me, for instance, he said, look, I accept that at face value, he said. He said, if you look at my problem in my house, it's going to cost between 60 and 70,000 alone for the construction. He said, if I had to pay 6 to 7,000, I'd be very hard pressed, but look, I would do it if that was the case.
Yes.
He said, the reality is, it's not that. It's far, far more.
Yes.
So the 90-10 sort of thing is an upfront sort of an estimate, but it goes nowhere to meeting the costs that these people are facing.
The real costs. And, I mean, these people's lives, and I saw on television, there was a television report on Monday night, these people's lives are ruined, and the lives of their children are ruined. First of all, they're in danger. Secondly, this is going to get progressively worse until the house they're living in, the home, and that's the key word, isn't it? The home they're living in crumbles around them. Now, I just want to, we have other instances, haven't we, Mick, where firewalls weren't put in. Those scandals have been addressed in a fairly piecemeal way. But the core principle here is that there's a number of people in the supply chain, in the building chain, that have, I would have thought, questions to answer. The builders, the block suppliers, the developers, the people who lent for mortgages, and the insurers. Haven't all of those people been a party to purchases of these ordinary people that they've made? And they must be of some responsibility, some accountability, some regulation. Is there? Is there regulation that governs all of this?
Yes, Simon, that's a very good point. And to be honest with you, that goes to the heart of the whole thing. As you said, there are people who are responsible for building these homes. The general attitude has been, and it's correct to some extent, is these homes were built at the time of our old friend light touch regulation.
Yes.
Therefore, those who were supplying the material and building the homes were not policed to ensure that they built them in a proper manner and that the materials were all up to a proper standard. What has come out of that, as we see in this instance and others, is that the state has ended up footing the whole thing. Now, the state is responsible to the extent that they didn't have regulation, absolutely. But the people who did it in the first instance, they have a responsibility because they didn't build the things properly and they didn't have the material to the proper standard.
Yes.
But what has happened there is, so far, they've got off lightly to this extent. In a lot of cases, following the economic collapse in 2008, which a lot of this bad work was done prior to that, a number of companies went out of business, but others didn't. Now, again, as you said, there were others, and this is really to the heart of the thing. There were other instances of other problems, and one of those was pyrite.
Yes.
Which, again, was a mineral that was inside an aggregate that went into making foundations. That came to the fore before mica.
And that was that was making people sick. I was in a house in Dublin West, and I saw for myself the ruined lives of the inhabitants of the house because this pyrite was in the building.
Absolutely. And a panel was put together after pressure again was put on the government, was put together by then Minister for Environment Phil Hogan in 2012. That reported in 2013. It acknowledged this problem. It said there had to be a redress scheme. But crucially, it said that the scheme should be paid to a large extent by a levy on the various industries that were involved in construction.
Yes.
These included the builders, the building suppliers, and the insurance industry. Because for example, in pyrite, Home Bond, when the insurance companies began paying out on pyrite, and then it stopped, perhaps when it realised how big the situation was, and it was able to claim legally that it didn't have to pay out anymore. But this expert panel came to the conclusion that all of those should contribute to a major extent to the redress scheme to ensure that these people were recompensed for having their homes built in this manner. What happened then, though? Phil Hogan announced there would be such a scheme. He said it would be to the value of 50 million. He said that it would be a levy, would be a major element of that scheme. Then, and we're back again, Eamon, to the way we're governed in terms of vested interests. The vested interests kicked up a storm. The building suppliers group vehemently opposed to it, but crucially, the insurance industry wrote to Phil Hogan, and I wrote a piece there on Monday or Tuesday about this story. Ono Brin, the Sinn Féin, got these documents under Freedom of Information. I was actually chasing them myself, but Mr. O'Brien got them. But the documents showed that the Irish Insurance Federation threatened legal action against the government and said that the government, if they're to introduce a levy on the insurance industry, which it said had not been part of the actual construction, which may well be true, which is true actually in terms of the construction, but they said it would be against the European Court of Human Rights, European Convention of Human Rights, excuse me, it would be against EU law and quite possibly contrary to the Constitution, and therefore they were going to fight any such levy.
Right.
Whether that was the reason or not, within months, Phil Hogan had completely revised the redress scheme. The state was going to pay the whole thing and there was going to be no contribution from industry at all. Move that on a number of years to the MICA. By then, as far as the government was concerned, and particularly, I'd say, the permanent civil service, they weren't going to get anything from industry. They were going to face being threatened again. And it seems there was certainly no stomach to stand up to those threats. So for the MICA, they also went on state-funded scheme, but this time not 100%, and that's the crucial thing.
Yes, and I mean, I saw one man, Divers, his name was... Paddy Divers, yeah, and he was in Dublin yesterday. He's one of the leading campaigners. He's got a family, small children, and all of that. And basically he said that if they accepted what was on the table... which is effectively 60% perhaps, it would cost his family over 100,000 or more, which, of course, people don't have. So the government now, Micheál Martin expressed disgust, revulsion, anger. He said it was disgraceful and all of these things in the Dáil. He said it might cost 1 billion. Because there are 5,000 homes, the estimate is, involved in this to repair the damage and redress the injustice, really. Now, if Micheál Martin, the most powerful politician in the country, expresses that, the natural follow-on would be that these people who came to Dublin yesterday would be assured that their problem was over, the government was going to deal with it. That's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. And it was indicated, I think, last night and in reports today that the government are not of a mind to have 100%, as in that covering everything, including relocation costs, renting, storage, etc., all of those things, on the basis that it would be open-ended. Now, I think they're going to get down to the brass tacks of that over the next 6 weeks. Dara O'Brien, the Minister for Housing, set up a working group. Interestingly, I think there's 12 on that working group and 6 of them are from the Pyrite Action Committee from Donegal, which is very interesting because that means whatever they come up with, and, well, if you assume that they're going to have an agreed report, there will be huge input from the people themselves, which is vital. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how far they go there. But the big thing is, and Micheál Martin mentioned this again yesterday, and he said he's going to talk to the Attorney General about whether industry should contribute. And yes, that is the big issue, Eamon, because you and me, everybody in this country, is paying for this now on the basis that the state fell down in terms of regulation, yet those who profited from it have all skipped off because it would seem either the law is on their side or the government is not of a mind to challenge them in terms of ensuring that they make a contribution to this fund.
Yes, and some of the builders, and I'm not going to smear all builders by saying they're all cowboys, but some of the people in that industry would be cowboys. Some of these building companies have changed their name and they're no longer trading under the name they were trading when they built these houses. Now, it seems to me, Mick, that MICA and its properties, as you described them, is deadly. And they shouldn't, really. They should be held to account, should they not, for not making sure that the houses they built would stand up.
Absolutely. Like in a previous life, I worked as an engineer, a civil engineer, but prior to that, again, I had a summer job 1 year in a concrete manufacturing plant. And that's the kind of place that these things are done. And in those plants, you have systems, you have dials, you have counters, you have systems whereby they quantify what particular minerals are in these things, and they're very strict about it. And the reason they're strict is because if they're not, theoretically, they're going to get done for it. They're going to get fined. Yes. They're going to get put out of business. But there was no regulation. So in that scenario, whereas you might have a very small number of cowboys in a normal situation, in that scenario, people are going to be less rigorous with their own standards. And this is inevitably going to happen. And it has happened here. It has happened in Pirate. It has happened in Fire Safety. All the time. And the other point you make is very valid as well. Like, for instance, I've done a lot of work in terms of the fire safety defects, and I know two major builders who are responsible for a lot of that stuff. Both are now operating effectively under different names. And again, there's a group has been set up by the government to examine that. And first of all, it's very slow. But apart from that, there is still no sign that moves are going to be made to ensure that a proper contribution is made by those who profited, remember, from all this work.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Have quarries ever been regulated to stop problems like this emerging, or are they subject to regulation, is one question, Mick. The other one is, there's supposed to be a surveyor, isn't there, who comes in, looks at the building that's been built, and checks out that everything is good.
Absolutely. Now, to be fair, in relation to mica and pyrite, the real issue would lie with the building supplier,
right,
rather than specifically the quarry or the person who's checking on site, because that's
right,
where the concrete blocks are made. And
in the case of pyrite, Mick,
yeah,
did the people responsible ever have to pay?
No, because as I said, the threats that were there, once a levy had been proposed,
yeah,
the government backed down in the face of those threats. And the other thing, Eamon, you should remember here too, the reason we had light touch regulation in the first place was because of pressure from industry. They wanted light touch regulation. It would cost them less. There wouldn't be somebody there who's a pain in the butt telling them to hold on, you can't do this, you can't do that. They could drive on and get things done. They wanted light touch regulation.
And they wanted self-certification.
Yeah.
This is a system whereby you build this thing and then you confirm that it's built to properly, that everything is good, and you put the rubber stamp on it, having checked, having regulated yourself.
Exactly. And as you said, to be fair, there are builders who maintain the standards. But
yes,
when you have that kind of regulation, the proportion that are cowboys or do cowboy work is inevitably going to be far larger than it would otherwise be. And that is exactly what happened. Now, they've changed that to some extent since 2014 as a result of a lot of these problems. But people will tell you, and people whose opinions I personally respect in the industry would say, it is still has a potential to not be proper regulation, and for things when things go wrong, that nobody's going to be held accountable. So they've gone a bit of the way, but they're still, it's back to the same thing, Eamon, that in so many different ways, we govern things according to vested interests. Yes. And that sort of thing. And it would seem that to that extent, when people who represent the building industry tell government that if they go down a particular road, it'll mean ruination, it'll mean things won't get built, the government, in my opinion, accept that far more readily than they should, and that they should take into account the rights and requirements of people to own their own homes and to ensure that they're safe in their homes.
Yes, and now we come, I've seen a number of politicians, key politicians in this from the governing party, and all of them have stopped short of saying this problem will be solved, all of them. And these people, therefore, have not got the justice that they deserve. And they have said, I mean, when they were going home last night, they said, we will be back. Now, Mr. Gallagher is the Attorney General, isn't he?
He is, yeah, Paul Gallagher. Yeah, he's very highly rated.
A brilliant man, yeah. They say. Well, let's see now. He's the person who will decide on the legality of this, and he is a very influential. If it's found that, as for example, with the fire, that these builders aren't culpable, then the question arises, why don't they change the law? If Mr. Gallagher is to find out that there's no way the people responsible for this, the builders, for example, surveyors, are not accountable, couldn't you put in place then a regulation to make sure they're accountable in the future? Meanwhile, you could take care of these 5,000 families who are suffering in an unimaginable way, watching their house literally fall down around them and around their children, more significantly.
Absolutely, I mean, and not only that, the model that you could use is to some extent in place, and that is in the insurance industry. For example, we all remember Quinn Insurance, and yep. As a result of all the issues that arose there and the huge losses that there were, there's a levy now on all, I think it's non-life, but I'm not sure what element of insurance, there's a levy on all insurance as a result. Now, you've an issue there as to whether it's the premium holders who end up holding the baby there or the insurance companies themselves. But the model is there. And why could you not have a similar system in the construction industry? Okay, in this instance, you're probably talking more about building supplier personnel rather than construction, but in construction in general. They all still, that's how they all still make their crust, and they do pretty well out of it. And also the insurance companies, that, you know, it's necessary to be insured, yet at the same time, when issues arise, there seems to be loopholes through which the insurance companies can skip off and leave the state holding the baby. Again, as far as the legal advice is concerned, I suppose Paul Gallagher can only point out what it is. But as you say, there is definitely a case there to change the law if that is what is required, because all of this being left back on the Exchequer is completely unfair, and it's back to the same old thing of the small guy is the one left holding the baby, i.e. the taxpayer, the man in the street who's having to pay extra tax or who's not getting the services, because this money has to go towards this work that was completely shoddy and left people with dangerous homes.
Right. Just a final question, Mick. You were down there with the protesters yesterday, with those families and those men and women. The distress is evident when you see them interviewed on television, and I'm sure yesterday the distress was evident as well. This is a kind of test case, isn't it, of this present government, to see whose side they're on. Are they on the side of people who are victims of disgraceful behaviour by professional people largely, or by the better off? This is a test case this mica case now?
Yeah, you could say that, Eamon, definitely. I mean, I spoke to one woman who made a point about, you know, like anybody, she had two kids, she's from Letterkenny. She made a point that, like anybody, did she herself and her husband, he was there too, they put money away to educate their kids to ensure they get through college. All that savings is gone now on this thing. So yeah. as things stand at the moment, their kids' future is up in the air. And, you know, that's a huge burden as far as they're concerned. And there are many people like that. And it is a test case. There's a requirement here for a different approach to governing, if you ask me. And that is to ensure that the public interest, and this arises again and again in housing in general, in the whole area of property ownership and that, to ensure that the government properly explore the issue of when the common good comes up against the personal interests of individuals, that they get the balance right in terms of where the emphasis should be. Because for too long, the emphasis has not been in favour of the common good, and it has been in favour of the individual in any area to do with property rights or anything like that. That doesn't mean that you go in and take someone's property, or far from it. But there are situations whereby the common good has to be taken into account, particularly when people have been adversely affected, like in this case.
Yeah, well, the Minister for Housing is a gentleman called Dara O'Brien. He said that by the end of July, there will be a definitive outcome to this story, and we'll see what happens. We're very grateful to you, Mick. Mick Clifford is special correspondent with the Irish Examiner, one of the great journalists in the country, and badly needed they are. We're grateful to Mick. We're also grateful to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.